We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
WIP, Joe Giulio with you, Howard Eskin with us for the 6 o'clock hour. Howard, how are we doing tonight?
Just absolutely sensational. Couldn't be better. Everything's so great in Philadelphia right now.
Yeah, we got a great football team, 5-7, getting ready for a Monday night game, and we'll get into them, Howard. We have a basketball game tonight, which we'll touch on before the end of our hour. And Howard, we have one of the highest paid Phillies in the history of the franchise, the third highest. I can't believe I'm saying this. The third highest free agent contract the Phillies have ever given out belongs to Zach Wheeler.
Well, times have changed, so that's part of it.
But
so,
it's true. I'm $118 million. Howard, I'll give
the second highest? McCutcheon? No, it can't be McCutcheon.
The second highest, so it's Bryce Harper's one, the highest free agent contract, and Cliff Lee is two.
What was Cliff Lee?
5-120. It's similar kind of contract, but it was similar. Now Wheeler, 5-118. Howard, my thoughts are he's a good pitcher. He helps. Obviously, he's better than some of the slop they had. But, boy, it's a risky deal for a guy that has never been great, Howard, over a full season in the major leagues. He's never had one great year. He's had some good ones. He's had injuries. But he's never had a great season. And they're paying him. He better be really good for them.
I can't believe the money has changed that much in baseball. And these players are complaining about collusion. Are you kidding me? How could you pay that much money? However, I will say this. He is the second best pitcher on their staff. He's a good pitcher. He's better than what they've had after what they have after Nola.
Sure, of course.
So he will help the team. But the one thing, and I said this afternoon with Joe and John, that now by paying that kind of money, it limits you to what you're going to, who you're going to get. Because everybody, I love all these people that say, well, it's not your money, let them go out and spend. Well, but that's not the way it works. Owners don't want to be over the luxury tax. If you go $20 million over, you're paying another $20 million in luxury tax. You don't want to do that. And if they had a minor league system, they wouldn't have to do that. But they have no minor league system to be able to balance out some of the salaries. So it really limits what they can do to fix the other areas. That's why they could never go after Gerrit Cole or Strasburg. It would really blow up the payroll.
Well, Howard, it's a problem then. I what you're saying, I think you're being realistic, and I don't believe the Phillies will go over the luxury tax until I see them go over it. But Howard, here's what frustrates me about this. This is John Middleton. We're going to play this for you. John Middleton, and this was about a month ago, one of the end of season press conferences. Here's what he said about the luxury tax.
I'm not going to go over the luxury tax so we have a better chance of being the second wild card team. That's not going to happen. I think you go over the luxury tax when you're fighting for the World Series.
Well, Howard,
they're not going to be fighting for the World Series.
But if they go into a season and don't go over it, they're telling you they don't think they can win a World Series. That's not a way to sell a season to your fans.
Well, and that's correct. They're not, and to be the second wild card, to even be the first wild card team, it doesn't matter. They're not. When you look at baseball, the Dodgers will be good again.
Yes.
Okay. In their division, the Braves are still better than the Phillies,
and they've made additions. They've gotten better.
We'll see what falls.
Including Cole Hamels.
Yeah.
Helps
them.
Well,
they replaced Keuchel with Cole Hamels. We'll see what Washington, what they end up with and how that all falls out. But I'm not ready to just say the Mets aren't good enough. Mets with just pitching last year, and they had a couple of good young players. I'm not so sure the Mets are out of it. It's going to be very competitive, and I haven't even looked at the other divisions as far as a possible wild card team. So there are teams that are Cincinnati. I'm telling you, they have good young players.
They added Moustakas.
And they're adding players.
Well, a guy that made sense for the Phillies again, Moustakas.
Yeah.
Howard, Zach Wheeler helps the Phillies. I just don't understand what the plan is here. If you're going to sign him, you're telling everyone, okay, we needed this player. We think he's going to be good the next 5 years. Fine. But like, they can't stop spending now because he's not enough. Like, Zach Wheeler's not going to take this team from 81 wins and all of a sudden they're winning 95. Like, let's not kid ourselves. He's a good pitcher.
I go back to the problem with the minor leagues. As much as they're going to tell you how good their minor league system, that shape it's in, it's shape. What do you have that's right there on the horizon? Spencer Howard.
Yes.
The pitcher.
Pitcher.
Okay. And you just hope that, and everybody tells me that have watched him. Not what the Phillies say, because I don't pay attention to what the Phillies say when it comes to minor leaguers. He's good. Boehm can hit, but defensively there's a question mark, so where does he play? And outside of that, who do they have?
That's it.
Who do they have? So I don't know what they're going to – that's why you don't win by just signing free agents. And when you really break it down, that's what it's going to be. Harper –
Wheeler.
McCutchen.
Wheeler.
Arrieta.
I mean, unfortunately, he's a major part of this. Yeah.
Arrieta. A shortstop or a second baseman, likely a shortstop.
They spent a lot of money on David Robertson, and he's basically going to be out for 2 years.
A relief pitcher. So they wasted money on Pat Neshek and Tommy Hunter.
Yeah, they wasted a lot of money.
Yeah, it's just – so they wasted money on those two stiffs. It's just – again, I can't help but think of me sitting there when Middleton and I know I don't really want to go back to it. I'm sitting there and they announced the Kapler firing. And I see Klentak and Andy McPhailure sitting there. I'm saying, are you kidding me? You know, what have they done? I mean, just looking at this organization. To be a winning organization, you got to make good decisions. The Segura trade turned into a bad trade.
Did.
He's a stiff. Neshek, Tommy Hunter. Now, you can't.
Arrieta.
Arrieta. But, you know, and Middleton wanted him, and John, I know, but that's what you have a general manager for. I wanted him. You didn't think he would go downhill that quickly. I mean, he's not bad. He's just not good. He's just like an average pitcher.
And if there was no luxury tax, Howard, I don't care how much he makes, but $25 million for Arrieta impacts a lot.
Yes, and then you look at the development of the farm system. It's just bad. I mean, the good trade they made was Realmuto. So, but they're going to have to pay him too in another year.
I just don't know how, Howard, they become a winning team. Like, I agree with you. The right way to do this was to build through the farm system. They didn't do that correctly. So now the only choice they have is to spend their way to try to get into contention. And they do that to an extent, but like, they can't stop now.
You can't win a World Series just buying players.
But you know what? Then what's the point of Zach Wheeler? Like, don't even sign him. Like, they have to keep going now.
Well, they wanted to take one more step to get better. And I can understand, because they had nothing. Without signing a free agent pitcher.
They had nothing. But now they still need a shortstop.
The other guys out there are still going to cost that much money anyway.
They need another infielder. They need a relief pitcher. They need another starting pitcher. They need one more. Like, they can't stop now, and they're only about $16, $20 million under the tax. I don't know how they fill all these needs unless they go over the tax. It's like that's a math problem for them now, and maybe they'll surprise us and they'll go over it, but I don't feel good about it. Let's talk to John at Southwest Philly. What's up, John?
Hey.
Hey, John.
Asking, you always state the obvious. We know that you don't build a team by buying free agents. Everybody knows that. You build through the farm system. The fact that we don't have a farm system, whose fault is that?
Phillies'
I've
fault.
Already identified the fault is the general manager, Matt Klentak. So, but we're talking about the problems. Don't tell me I'm stating the obvious, because that's the problem. So I'm explaining the problem with having to go out and sign a bunch of free agents to compete because you don't have a farm system. You haven't developed it. I go back
stating the obvious. Howard.
So what's your point here, John?
Well, you stay.
Okay, what is the point? You say you cried all last season how there's no point in making on our team making the playoffs.
No, you know, I never said
that one-game playoff is a joke.
Well, that is a joke.
The Nationals got the one-game playoff and won the World Series.
And they had yes, they did. But,
but wait a second. They also had Steven Strasburg and Max Scherzer and Patrick Corbin.
Well, we got a guy. We could have made moves.
What are you talking about?
Wait, they had Aaron Nola, John, and who else?
And we could have made moves.
Yeah, but
you
weren't buying Strasburg and Corbin in moves last year, John. Like, I agree with you. They should have traded for a pitcher last year, but let's be real.
And look at the players they had on the field.
No,
they had Soto.
The
they had
playoff,
Rendon.
The one-game playoff
yeah,
is
hey, John,
a joke.
You're a dope, all right?
Well, we're all dopes. I mean, I think we can agree on that. But you know who's the biggest dope of all of us? The Phillies front office.
I think back, and I really like John Middleton because I think his deep down, not even deep down, I think he shows everybody he wants to do what it takes to win.
Then he should go over the luxury tax.
Well, no, then he should have made decisions on the general manager who, because I go back to another thing, because he challenged me. When I said, why are those two guys sitting there? He says, tell me we're not better off now than we were 4 years ago. Well, John, you spent $500 million. That's why you're better off. Because you spent but better off only got you to 500.
Right.
What did that do? And that's the problem. Look at the Yankees. I hated the Yankees growing up. I hated them. However, you see what they do now because Steinbrenner, you thought, bought everybody. No, he spent a lot of money in his farm system.
Yep.
They developed players. They had 35 injuries last year, and they had the second-best record in baseball.
They just kept bringing guys up, and they could play. Here, Howard, here's what frustrates me, and I believe what you're saying, that John Middleton wants to win, but I don't think he knows how to win, because here's the thing. You said it a few minutes ago. Most teams don't go over the tax. Most teams don't. Only a handful do. And if Middleton doesn't want to, then he should have a GM here that is good at drafting. Like, Chaim Bloom was available. He went to the Red Sox. You said it with Cashman with the Yankees. Look at the Dodgers. They don't spend as much as people think. They just develop. They have young player after young player. So if you don't want to go over the tax, then guess what? You have the wrong GM because this GM doesn't develop players.
Chaim Bloom did miracles.
In Tampa Bay.
In Tampa.
And he's going to win with Boston.
I know.
And they're going to go under the tax in a couple years, and he's still going to win with them.
And the fact that he interviewed him and Klentak, at the same time before he hired Klentak.
He chose Klentak
because Klentak's slick. He's an Ivy Leaguer.
Kevin is on the cell. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, I was thinking now that we're in this predicament, and this is because, you know, those six or seven down years, there's nothing to show for. The years where we weren't contending, rebuilding,
it's a good point.
I think you're going to have to buy like Donaldson or something like that. I mean, it's logical because he will push you over the top. But other than that, the East is just definitely really, really good.
Okay, let me say this, Kevin. Okay, so they get Donaldson. So they're a better offensive team.
Certainly
they're
would
a
be.
Better team.
Yeah.
Better,
offensively.
Yeah.
He would help a lot.
Okay, but now they still only have two pitchers. You know, I don't know. We'll see what Eflin does. The bullpen, is not a real closer. I mean, he did an okay job. It was okay. But what do they have in the bullpen?
Yeah, you need more around him.
Well, the bullpen corps are going to come back. We did have a huge injury bug. That
well, you out. Hope, Kevin. Like, Sir Anthony Dominguez avoided Tommy John surgery, but that doesn't mean he's in the clear. We got to see if his arm holds up.
Yeah,
and Roberts is not pitching next year.
Every doctor that I've spoken to, and again, I don't talk to the team doctors, and they know because they've examined him, say he's going to have it eventually. So by not having the surgery, and that's the player's choice, but he should have had it at the end of the season if he wanted to wait. He would have been lost for a year, but now he might be lost for 2 years.
Well, if he had it right away in June was when he got hurt originally, he'd be back, June.
Sometime, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they can't afford to spend on the bullpen because there's too many other things. So basically, maybe they are in a rut.
They're in a pickle. Kevin, we appreciate the call. Howard, you said, they still need pitching. Here's there is a path that they could do this. Howard, if they sign Donaldson, they could trade Bohm for pitching. I'm sure someone would give them a pitcher for Alec Bohm.
Matt Klentak another excuse how he had to trade one of his minor league players.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out how they get really good. That's all I think we want here. And Look, Zach Wheeler's a good pitcher. He's going to help them be better, but yes. That's not enough.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, he is a good pitcher. So, but what you, you're in the predicament you're in because you don't have young players that can balance out and can play positions. You don't have a young player that's a shortstop. You know, they counted on J.P. Crawford for 2 years. I don't think that was even Klentak's pick.
No, that was Morrow. Yeah, that was before he got here.
So, but, you know, they hung on to him saying he's a stiff. He hit like 230 for Seattle, and he's terrible. But they hang on the guys thinking they're going to be good enough, and they're just not good enough. I think Kingery is a very good player. That wasn't Klentak's pick either. I think Kingery's going to be a good player. But you've got to – you can't Mickey Mouse around with his position. He's a natural second baseman. He probably should play second base. And they've got to get a shortstop. But if they don't get a shortstop,
Kingery's
he's
got to
play shortstop. Yeah.
He's like their blessing and their curse because they can move him everywhere, but it doesn't necessarily do well for him. Steve's in Levittown. What's up, Steve?
Hi, good evening. I have two questions for you, both gentlemen. One is, who's running the personnel now? It's rumored to be Girardi's going to be really running the team more or less for personnel-wise, and Klintak's is there for who knows what reason. And the second thing is, who might be tradable? Who might be actually tradable in the Phillies that they can get, let's say maybe like a number three pitcher? Because I don't know who it would be.
Well, that's the question.
Really, I don't know who. Those two questions.
Well, I have the answer to the second one, and I don't think it's the one that the Phillies want to do. It's Rhys Hoskins. If Bohm can't play third, you move him to first, and you'd get something back for Rhys. He's still cheap, and he's shown he could play.
He's got to play, but his value is not where it should be.
Yeah, it's lower.
Yeah. It's lower. I mean, I think people realize he's still going to hit 30-some home runs.
He's still a good offensive player.
Yes. But that's the only guy. And then I guess you'd have to put Bohm up there right away.
There's no good answers here. That's the problem. There's no easy path. Howard, last year was pretty easy when you think about it. All they had to do was wait on Machado or Harper, and they were probably going to get one of those guys. This is way harder. This whole getting from where they are now to getting really good just feels harder. Howard, he mentioned who's in charge of personnel. It's Klentak.
Well, he's in charge of personnel. They got a new minor league guy who was with the Yankees, I guess. I think that's where he came from.
Yeah, and he'll help with drafting. But in terms of like these signings and trades.
And Joe Girardi, obviously. I think he talked to Kapler, but Kapler always allowed Klentak to do whatever he wanted to do. I think Joe Girardi will have more input, but the boss is the general manager. You can't break down the structure like that. And I think Girardi will just kind of let it roll, and he'll discuss it. Now, if he's totally adamant about a player, I don't think that player will be on the team. But Klentak still has to make those decisions.
He has to, and that's what's scary about all this. Let's talk to Chris up in New Jersey. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good, Chris. What's up?
Good.
So, with the Phillies, sorry, one second. Let me take her up. There you go. So, with the Phillies, I think I do have an idea that might make them better for the very short term, if we want to talk about that. So, Rhys Hoskins versus Alec Bohm defensively at first base. Joe, do you know if Alec Bohm's played any first base? I know they've discussed maybe moving him over there in AAA this year.
Yeah, I don't know if he's played extensively. Maybe they've put him there for a game or two. But, yeah, I mean, he's played mostly third because they want to see if he could play third.
I think he said somewhere, I think there was a quote from him somewhere, that he likes first base. I think he played it somewhere
along the line
in high school. Yeah, somewhere along the line. But he has played first base. Not a lot, but he's played first base.
So, yeah, on that accord then, kind of the drop-off that you might get defensively with Bohm compared to Hoskins at first, but then maybe a slight drop-off with hitting of Hoskins versus Bohm, but I know Bohm has pretty high potential in terms of an offensive player. So the value that you might be able to get back for Hoskins right now, maybe a mid-level rotation guy if you throw in another double-A prospect.
He's coming off a bad year. That's the problem.
Yeah, you're not going to trade him at peak value. But, Chris, I think the idea has merit. And I just looked it up, Chris. They had him play 24 games last year at first base in the minor league.
Oh,
so
okay.
They've at least started the process where, you know, it wouldn't be totally foreign to him if they wanted to do it.
We know how processes work in this.
Well, yeah, they take time sometimes. Chris, we appreciate the phone call. 888-729-9494. We'll come back. Your phone calls. We'll touch on the Eagles. Doug Peterson changed up practice. Injuries, which there's one today that I wasn't expecting, and one guy that's still not back. So some Eagles talk as we get ready for the final stretch of this very disappointing Eagles season. We'll talk about the Eagles next. And Lenny Dykstra this morning, Howard, made an appearance on the morning show. We have to play that because it was some of the most ridiculous radio I've heard in a long time. That's coming up. 888-729-9494, Sports Radio 94 WIP. 625 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio, Howard Eskin here as we talk Phillies, the Zach Wheeler signing, and now our concerns over luxury tax. And Howard, we have a game coming up. Well, one tonight that has implications, the Cowboys and the Bears on Thursday Night Football. And then Monday night, of course, we have another Eagles game. They're 5-7, Howard. People are fed up. But as much as it's easy to just give up, like, they're in this. I mean, they're right in this. And today, Howard, Doug Peterson changed something up at practice, something he doesn't usually do, which you think it's sending a message because they had a physical practice here.
Every player, I was in the locker room this afternoon, every player that talked about it really liked it. It created an energy.
A little wake up?
Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously he changed it up, but it created an energy. It established that there's an importance. And everybody said it was really good. Lane Johnson said he loved it.
I can see the offensive lineman liking it.
Yeah. He loved it. Zach Ertz really liked it. I don't know if you want to say it sent a message, but it just it did. It's the first practice. Today's the first practice because it's the money game since the loss on Sunday. And what the player said is it created an energy. And that's a good thing. Well,
they need it because Sunday they didn't have enough of it. I mean, Howard, it was amazing to listen early in this week. You know, first it was Doug after the game. Then it was Brandon Graham with you on Monday night, you know, admitting that the Dolphins at moments in that game played harder than them and to an extent wanted it more. I don't know. First of all, I don't know how that happens. And two, there better be more energy this week. They're not good enough that they could play C-plus games and win. That's obvious.
I think they come into a game with energy, but there's certain things that happen, and I don't know why they happen. I'm still baffled to come up with an explanation why things happened last Sunday against Miami. It's obviously inexcusable, and they realize that too.
One of the most baffling Eagles games in years.
Yep.
Like, they've had bad games. They've had games where they didn't show up or they played poorly. But like the Dolphins, the beginning of the year, all people said is they were tanking, Howard. They were purposely trying to lose. And the Eagles go down there and blow that lead.
The players don't try to lose. The organization does.
Right. Yeah, the way they built the roster. I mean, almost half their team was undrafted, the Dolphins. Yeah. Like, they're a bad football team, and obviously we know what happened Sunday. So the physical practice today, and then the injury report I saw, Howard. So no Derek Barnett practicing, no Nelson Agholor. And it seems...
Yeah, but I have a reason for that.
What do we have?
Okay. Full practice. You want to give those guys a little extra time. Derek Barnett...
What's the Barnett thing? Because we know Nelson had a knee.
It was an ankle. He came out for a little while. Unfortunately, he came out a couple of plays before that fake trick play. Yeah. It wasn't a fake play. It was a trick play.
They could use him out there.
So Sweat was out there instead of Barnett. And I guess he's just resting it. Agholor has had a swollen knee. So with a full practice like that, I totally understand. I don't think you should read too much into it because it's the first practice of the week.
I feel better about that then. I don't feel good about Jordan Howard.
No,
what's going on here?
It's a lingering. My understanding is he can't lift his arm above his shoulder.
That sounds promising.
Yeah, right. Well, you don't want a guy and John Ritchie. John, you got to get out there and play. John, if he feels pain when he gets hit and it could cause a fumble, you don't want fumbles. You don't want a guy that, I don't know that you can shoot up a nerve.
Physical runner. He's not, Darren Sproles out there. He's running through the tackle.
So, I don't know. I'm not the doctor. I didn't examine him, but it's a nerve problem and he has trouble lifting his arm above his shoulder. So, and it's still, obviously there's still some pain and still inability to do that.
They miss him.
Yeah, they sure do.
You know, I know.
They had one running back last week.
Yeah, and their run game was effective, but they went away from it. And you said the other day that probably part of it was they only have one running back they wanted to use.
I don't think they're ready for Ajayi to get 10 to 12 carries either.
It's unfortunate because if they're in these games where you kind of need 25 to 30 carries, I don't know where they're coming from. Unless Jordan Howard comes back.
Well, this week, they'll probably, Ajayi could, again, remember, he hadn't played for a year.
I know.
So... So he'll probably get more carries this week, too.
And you would hope this week they're up late in the fourth quarter. They better be.
Yes.
They better be. 888-729-9494. Let's grab Tony, Southwest Philly. What's up, Tony?
How y'all doing?
Good, Tony. What's up?
Hey, not much. How you doing, buddy?
I remember my tasty cakes. What's that?
Sure you didn't. You remember my tasty cakes 10 years ago? You sent them to me. They were flat.
Yeah. Well, I really remember it like it was yesterday, but flat tasty cakes.
Yeah, buddy, how you doing?
It's still the taste of tasty cake.
It's still delicious, I'm sure.
It's still delicious.
Exactly. Hey, Howard, I got to have fun with you. You got to stop talking about the opposing team, because every time you do that, we lose. Remember when you were talking about the Dolphins? I'm like, oh, Howard,
everybody's
stop.
Everybody's talking about the Dolphins.
We all said the Dolphins
we
stink.
We lost, though.
Here's another one.
They stink.
Tony, here's another one for you. The Giants stink, too. They better beat them.
Well, I hope we win this one. But, Howard, you got to stop saying that, because I feel bad.
Okay. All right.
Please, Howard, say that. We always lose.
You know what? The Giants are a great football team.
They've only lost 8 in a row by accident.
Yeah, I'm shocked that they're not competing for the division.
Hey, Joe.
Yeah.
Joe, we better win Sunday. And, Howard,
Monday. Well, they won't win Sunday. They won't win Sunday.
We won't?
Monday. The game's Monday, Tony.
The game's Monday.
Merry Christmas. I keep in touch with you guys. Okay?
All right, Tony. Appreciate it. You go enjoy the tasty cakes. They won't win Sunday. They better win Monday. Howard, tonight, maybe they'll get another gift tonight, Howard. The Cowboys are in Dallas.
No, the Cowboys are in Chicago.
Excuse me, the Cowboys are in Chicago against the Bears. Yeah, it's a road game for them.
It's a road game, and it looks like it's cold in Chicago.
Good for the Bears.
It's good for the Bears. And the Cowboys are, for all intents and purposes, a dome team. Teams are not great in cold weather.
Here's the problem, though. Mitch Trubisky is the quarterback of the Bears.
Yeah, that's right.
And what's the stat? The Cowboys haven't beat one team with a winning record this year. The Bears don't qualify. They don't win a winning record.
6-6, right?
I think we have to get to a point where we have to stop hoping the Cowboys lose all these games. The Eagles have to win their games.
I think it's just fun to watch the Cowboys.
Well, of course
lose.
It is. Yeah. But the Eagles can't bank on the Cowboys just losing all the rest of their games. They got to win.
Well, wait a minute. You know what? It's not that cold there. This is not good.
Is it temperate? What's the temperature?
It's 42 right now. It will be 44. Like in the low 40s throughout the game, that's not really cold.
December in Chicago, I expected more.
Yeah, you needed a little more bitter cold.
See, that's how sad this has become. We're hoping that's for the cold in Chicago on a Thursday with the Cowboys. Yeah, Jim in the Northeast is up. What's up, Jim?
Hey, Joe, King, how are you? I have two questions to ask you. How come the Yankees can go over to luxury tax and they don't care?
No, they do care.
Well, they're willing to go out, they say, and get as many free agents as they need to win.
No, they didn't say that. Come on, Jim. That's not what they said.
That's the impression I got.
Okay. So it goes from they said that to your impression. It's a little different.
The Phillies, they misevaluated on Bohm, right? Because now they're saying that he's not a good defensive third baseman.
They didn't say that.
We're
saying that, Jim. They've never said that. They're still pretending he can play.
The people that I've spoken to have told me he's just just so defensively.
Okay, well, Harry, if that was the case, and they want to put, then what? How did they scout him so wrong?
They drafted him for his bat, Jim. I think if he's as good of a hitter as they think he's going to be, then they'll find a place to put him. Like you kind of move him. You know, like Rhys Hoskins is not really a defensive player. You found a spot for him.
Can Middleton say to Kinchak, look, I don't care if you have to trade Bohm and Hazley and anybody else, but I want the players in here that's going to help us win. And because Kinchak, Mike might be stubborn and think he wants to get who he wants in, but can Middleton say, look, get him in here if you have to trade, because, whoever you have to trade, but I want a championship.
You know, you simplified that to an extreme that doesn't exist. You can't. John Middleton tells Matt Klentak he wants to win. Obviously, he's talked about where they are with their minor league system. I'm sure they discuss possible trades to try to improve so they don't have to spend money on a free agent. I'm sure he's spoken about all that, but he hires a guy to do the job. And if he doesn't do the job, he gets rid of them. Now, that's going to have to happen. If they don't make the playoffs this year, Matt Klentak is teaching at Harvard. Or he's teaching at Dartmouth. That's where
do you think he would teach? Economics?
Analytics.
Right.
It's not good at them.
if they're not winning by the trade deadline and they're really going lousy, would they fire him and put, like, Girardi in there temporarily to do something else?
Jim, you are way out of whack.
He's got to manage the team on the field.
I think
the other thing we're doing now, Jim, is we're simplifying the role of GM. Just make Joe Girardi do it. Write out the lineup card, make a trade.
Jim has just broken it down to its very simplest form.
Baseball, here's the thing, Howard. Here's my worry, and you just said if they don't make the playoffs, the Klentak's gone, and I agree. I don't want a GM that's making moves just for 1 year, because they could trade Bohm, they could trade Howard, they could get a lot better
this
year.
Trade those guys.
They aren't, but they could, Howard. You know what? In 3 years, they'd be old and expensive and not very good. Like, they can't just ignore the future with the idea of trying to win right now. They're in a pickle. I mean, Wheeler makes them better. Are they going to have a press conference room coming up next few days?
No, because don't the winter meetings start next week?
It starts Monday in California somewhere.
I forget where it is, but
San Diego, I think.
Yeah, so they had a get together with. Joe Girardi spoke to Reuters today. The electronic media were shut out.
You didn't get an invitation?
No. Whatever. Hey, listen, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. So it doesn't bother me. It's just like, what's Joe Girardi going to say? But whatever. No, Zach Wheeler hasn't. They haven't announced they've officially signed him, but everybody in America knows that they've signed Zach Wheeler. So they haven't done that yet.
I just wonder if you get that press conference. I mean, he's one of the most expensive free agents they've ever had.
Like, they'll have a press conference with him.
Yeah, I'm just wondering.
After the winter
meeting. Oh, so next, at the end of the next week.
Probably after the winter meeting.
All right.
Although, here's what the agents love. They love the attention. So it wouldn't shock me, and that wouldn't be good for the Philadelphia people. It wouldn't shock me that they do it.
Out there.
Yeah, so the agent can kind of go around and talk to everybody around the league.
Well, if they do that, then it just tells me they're trying to avoid your questions if they're holding press conferences out in San Diego. Speaking of seeking attention, this morning, Lenny Dykstra came up on the morning show. We got to play this for you. He got in a little back and forth. He called in after his name came up. He got in a little back and forth with Angelo. And then
I think Angelo ripped him. Is that why he called in?
Well, I mean, it's probably what happened.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense. But I this is the part I caught, and then I listened to more of it later. But he called back because Ray Dittinger was on with them this morning, wanted to ask Lenny Dykstra a question.
He called back because Angelo hung up on him.
But also, they also kind of asked him to call back because Ray said he had a question.
Right.
Either way, this is something I didn't expect to hear this morning. Ray Dittinger, Lenny Dykstra with this back and forth.
Lenny, Ray had a question for you, okay?
What, you're not going to hang up on me again, are you, bro?
No, I went, Ray, you had a question you want to ask Lenny. Please feel free.
Yeah, Len, I was just going to ask you, where's my $7,000?
Who are you, Ray?
I'm Ray Dittinger. I'm a writer here in Philadelphia, and I wrote two stories for your magazine, The Player, back in the day.
You used to hang out in my locker and beg me for stories. I remember that.
No, I don't ever remember begging.
Okay, well, maybe not begging, but asking for stories. But Ray, I think you cover football, don't you? Because
I don't
think you know much about baseball either.
No, on the count. Well, I mean, for your magazine. No, for your magazine, you asked me to write two football stories. So and I wrote them, and they appeared in your magazine. If you have one around, you can pick it up. It's there.
Really?
And I was promised $7,000, and I've never seen money.
I wasn't promised by me. Do you have a signed document?
I'm sorry. I worked through. Yeah.
Do you have a signed document?
No, Lenny. The way this thing works is somebody asks you to write a story, and for a fee, and you write the story, you expect to get the money. I mean, that's how it normally works.
The word of mouth. Huh? What is this? Did I hit by the rock's ball? This guy hit me in the head? Come on.
Sounds
Ray.
Like it.
The bottom line is, if you're going to do a contract and you're going to write a story, aren't you going to say, okay, this is how much I want? Is it a word of mouth kind of thing? Come on, buddy.
No.
You sound like Angelo when he's talking about baseball. Let's talk about Oil Can Boy. Let's talk about Pawnee Nails.
Lenny, you're an embarrassment to this city. I want to say that in a calm way this time. You're embarrassing yourself and you're embarrassing us. We loved you as a player. It's sad what's happened to you. Get help. You need it.
You don't even know the facts.
I don't. You know what?
You don't know.
You wouldn't know the facts.
You just read. You know what?
I'm not reading anything, Lenny. Lenny, it's sad what's happened. Please go away and never come back.
You don't get it. You're like the rest of them. You don't listen. Yep. You don't read.
I'm like all of them. We're all against you, Lenny. Lenny, goodbye. Get out.
Just send a check to me in care of WIP.
Everything about that, Howard,
I can't
was ridiculous.
Ray, first of all, I can't believe, Ray, what kind of story was that? $3,500 a story?
I mean, Lenny must have thought that magazine was really going to take off.
In freelance writing, do you get $3,500? That's what amazed me about that.
Must have been
thing.
A good story.
Lenny didn't pay a lot of people. So, and that's
no, really, that's not a surprise.
Anyway, when I played golf with him, I had to chase him to his car to get the money. I'll pay at the ballpark. No, Lenny, you'll pay me now.
Well,
so
just wait 20 years and WIP, yeah. You can talk to Lenny. That's, yeah, how, so that's how you get your money.
I got my money after the golf.
Ray's still waiting for his.
Yeah, Ray's still waiting for his. But Lenny is, it's... He was a great ball player, both with the Mets and with the Phillies.
One of my first favorite players to watch. Yeah, but my goodness, that guy's life is just.
I don't know that I feel bad for him because he brings on a lot of this stuff. But he told me one time, as screwed up as his life is, and you can use it, if we weren't on the air, I'd use another word. As screwed up as it is, he says.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't use the word, but I think everyone knows.
You know, he used dude before anybody used dude. He said, dude, I had a lot of fun in my life. And I don't regret anything that I did because I had so much fun. So
not even Stiff and Ray did injure 7 grand.
The way it is now, so be it.
So be what? Yeah. That's conversation was. All right, we'll come back, your phone calls, and we'll do a little Process pregame before the Sixers and the Wizards. That's coming up. Welcome back. Process pregame show delivered to you by PGW. PGW delivering safe, reliable energy to Philadelphia for more than 180 years. PGW Energy for all of us. Visit pgworks.com for details. Howard, tonight we get a Sixers game. Not sure if it's going to be Benjamin Simmons or Benjamin, but the Sixers are playing better lately. 4 wins in a row. Gets a couple of good teams at home, too. Indiana, that was a good game Saturday night. And then the Utah win on Monday night. So they're 15-6 now, but they're 10-0 here in Philadelphia, 5-6 on the road. They've been vulnerable whenever they're not here, and here they're unbeatable.
I think there's at least two other teams that are undefeated at home.
It might be more the top of the Eastern Conference, most of the good teams are.
Yeah, so I don't buy the record as much, but you obviously have to win on the road. But the fortunate thing for the Sixers, I mean, Indiana, yes, is a better team, and they took them to the wire.
Yep.
And then what was the other team that?
Utah.
Utah. I don't know where Utah was on their trip, but it appeared that they didn't show up. And when you play a team from the other conference, you normally split. They had already beaten the Sixers out in Utah, so maybe they just, who knows what players think anymore because the season's so long.
You're back-to-back, so you usually don't get a great effort that second night.
So, but yeah, I mean, they should win tonight.
Well, the Wizards are terrible. It's really just Bradley Beal and nothing else. Beal's good. Beal's a problem. No Josh Richardson tonight, so they'll probably have some trouble guarding him. Yeah, you said most teams, the good teams are around undefeated, so Toronto is 9-1 at home. Milwaukee's 9-1. Boston 8-0. Sixers 10-0. Miami 8-0. Indiana 9-2. Most of these good Eastern Conference teams.
Miami's undefeated at home too.
8-0.
Huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
It is interesting though. 5-6 on the road. Like they should be better than that on the road. I'm not saying they have to be 7-0, really great on the road. But they're under 500 away from here.
And some of the teams, I think some of the teams aren't really good teams. And they played some good teams, but there's not. When you look at the NBA, you like to see how they play against good teams, both home and on the road, really good teams. I think the next time Boston – I don't know the next time they play Boston, but I know Boston –
it's coming up soon, I think.
January 9th, they play them here. I know – actually, I have a couple of tickets, I think a couple rows from the court that I'm going to use to try to raise money for – that's the only reason I knew the date – for the Autism Challenge. So I'll post that. Post that soon.
They're in Boston next Thursday night, a week from tonight. Next Thursday. That's a big one.
Yes, it is.
Haven't seen them since the opener in a game they lost.
Okay, I'll ask you a question. Who is the MVP right now? Brandon Brooks asked me today.
Of the Sixers?
In the locker room, because he's a big basketball fan.
Well, my answer is Joel Embiid by default, because he's their best player.
No, not for the Sixers, in the NBA.
Oh, the NBA? It's Giannis.
Okay. Luka is right there.
Luka's had a great year. James Harden is averaging almost 40 points a game.
Yeah, but what does it mean?
But I mean, you have to. He's in consideration.
Yeah,
he's averaging almost 40 points a game.
I know. But Giannis and Luka, he scored 33 points, 18 rebounds in 28 minutes the other night.
I don't think he's going to win it, but it is pretty amazing to watch LeBron at this age play point guard on the best team in the West.
As far as your point, the MVP on this team, obviously, is Joel.
Joel.
Yeah, he's the best player. Best player on the team, and he's the MVP of this team.
Yes, and he even hasn't had a great year so far because he missed a couple games. He had the zero-point game, but he's your MVP. 888-729-9494. So they're in Washington tonight against a team they should beat, a team that's 6-13, just Bradley Beal. They should go down there and win this game tonight. Frank is on the cell. What's up, Frank?
Okay, all right, let me take you off the speaker. You guys are baffled why you lost against Miami. I just want to tell you a couple of reasons why I believe, being a 35-year Dolphin fan, why you guys lost against Miami. Yeah. You have to know your enemy. Dolphins are a team that I didn't even recognize their names in the first couple games of the season. I didn't know who they were. And, of course, they're going to have blowouts. Of course, they're going to have all this adversity. The only people tanking on the Dolphins was the owner. The coaches weren't, and certainly the players weren't. Parker had a career day. Gillespie had a career day. And most importantly of all, what the Eagles did wrong was, sorry, I'm out of breath, is in the second half, they couldn't get any pressure on Fitzpatrick.
No, and he got hot. And look, Ryan Fitzpatrick's been around a million years. When he gets hot, he can make plays.
You know what? I don't know what you do. They max protected a lot.
And he just threw it down the field.
Well, and that means there's only two-man route.
Right.
So you've got to cover those two guys.
And in a couple of those, I thought Darby had good coverage a couple of times. Parker just out-jumped him. It wasn't like he was beating them.
Jalen Mills, I thought, Parker had the game of his life.
They never had a quarterback that would throw it up like that. So whether nobody knew Parker could do that until they got Fitzpatrick.
If Fitzpatrick,
hold on, Frank. They were 2-9.
No, I'm sorry. I don't mean to make broad generalizations. But
no. But Tannehill wasn't throwing it. Whatever they were going,
they were 2-9.
2-9. They were 2-9 going into the game. What do you say? These guys just came out of the blue.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying you underestimated your enemy. You thought they were tanking.
They were terrible.
No.
You believed analytics, which surprises me for Philadelphia.
Well, but wait, Frank, everything
was about numbers.
Frank, analytics. The Dolphins are averaging 16 points a game. It's easy to underestimate them.
You underestimated them.
Frank, I'm glad you're a Dolphins fan. Watch them lose for years. Enjoy.
Frank, we appreciate it. Look, also, it doesn't matter if I underestimate the Dolphins or you did, Howard. The problem is that the Eagles played like garbage against the Dolphins.
They did not play well, and they know who they are. They look at tape of the opposing team all week. They know it.
Well, after the game, Doug Peterson said they're a good football team, Doug.
Everybody says good things about the other team, especially if you get beat. Even if they had beaten them, they would say they're a good football team.
Yeah, well, Doug can't go up there and say, man, we just lost to a bad team, because then he looks worse.
No, right. That's exactly right. They lost to him. It's still, I'll never be able to explain that, and I don't know that they can either.
All right, Howard, last Thursday we sat here, and I said, next time we talk, it's going to be after a win, and we both said yes.
It was no question.
Next time we talk, it has to be after a win.
Yes.
I can't say no question this time, though.
No, I will.
Once you lose to the Dolphins, all bets are off.
I can't say no question. However, this is what, and I think there's a lot of character players on that team, a lot of them. And that's the way they spoke today. But talk is cheap until you go out there and do it. But I think last week was an absolute total wake-up call. It was absolutely, and if I have misread these players dramatically, last week should never have happened. It can't happen. You lost the two previous games. You lost the two good teams.
Sure.
This will not happen on Monday. They will not lose on Monday because I think the wake-up call's there. Shelly is the other quarterback. And
they're dusting off old Eli Manning.
Oh, boy, he'll come after him. He'll turtle up behind the line of scrimmage. So he'll just throw it up for grabs. I would say the Eagles should get a minimum of two turnovers in that game.
If they get two turnovers at home against a Giants team that hasn't won in 2 months, against a quarterback that hasn't played in 2 months, if they don't win by the game by double digits, there is a problem here. Howard, I think they're going to win.
Yes, I
hope
they do,
and we'll do this again next week. We'll hear you again on Saturday.
I lost track of the day.
It is Thursday.
Yeah, well, I lost track because the Eagles' schedule was a day off.
Right, so you're on Wednesday time?
Well, yeah, they had a Wednesday schedule today, even though it's Thursday.
Are you going to make sure you know where you're going Monday? You have to be at the game Monday.
Yeah, I'll be at the game.
Don't show up Sunday, Howard.
No.
All right.
I'll have a pregame show on Sunday, even though the game's not until Monday for Fox.
So that might throw you off. You might just go to the stadium afterwards.
I could just drive right there.
Well, watch for Howard. He might be lost over the next couple days. We'll talk to you next week. Come back. A lot to get into. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.